This episode is sponsored by 10X Stage Agency. 10X Stage Agency deliver exceptional talent to the most important stages in the world. People like Dean Graziosi, Ray Higdon, and so many more. They are the first and only agency focused entirely on building impact and revenues for speakers. Their driven, experienced stage agency team has the relationships and the data-driven expertise to get you on the stages where your audience is assembled. They will make sure your voice and impact are amplified on the stages that are the ideal for you. The proof is in the numbers. They don't just talk the talk, their speakers are getting real results. Over 1,000 stages booked in last year, 3 times clients added in 18 months, and endless national stage opportunities. So what are you waiting for? You can go to 10xstageagency.com and find out more. As famously said by Jeff Bezos, if we think long term, we can accomplish things that we couldn't otherwise accomplish. In the past 10 years, quite a few companies have been created by millennial entrepreneurs. How are they different from, say, baby boomer or Gen X entrepreneurs? What insights into entrepreneurship should they seek? Although operating a business isn't always certain, it's important to think long-term when planning. By approaching their business with a solid strategy, business owners can work harder towards their goals and sustain their company. For those of you who are interested in knowing how you can think long-term even in the face of business uncertainty, then this episode is for you. Hi, my name is Rayson and I'm the host of The Legacy Show, and in this episode, we've invited an inspiring entrepreneur. His name is none other than Victor Pena. Victor is the Chief Executive Officer of OmniPrint International, which is a multi-million dollar printer manufacturer. He's an experienced leader of innovative teams with the Product of the Year awards for the last 5 consecutive years. He's also created products from scratch, like the Cheetah Industrial DTG printer, the Work Online platform for print automation and workflow tracking, and the Gamut Plus Enhanced Direct to Garment Inks. He is a focused digital marketer with solid fundamentals and creative strategies for lead creation, development, and management. In addition to all of these accomplishments, he is also a commercial and multi-family real estate investor, the principal owner of Hugo Holdings LLC, where they buy, hold, and manage apartment buildings, inspiring positive living. Not just that, he is also an angel investor and board member of Hundi Inc., which is a new app for positive short-term loans for people based on trust, not credit. Growing philanthropist, he is helping in causes relating to helping the troops through the Gary Sinise Foundation and the youths through CHOC and other private foundations. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Victor into the podcast. Woohoo! Hey, Victor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow, what an intro. I'm thinking, oh my God, who's this guy?
Well, it's my pleasure and honor, you know, to have you here as well. I would say that when I was introduced to you by 10X Stage Agency, I was like, wow, man, you have such a huge following. And also at the same time, you have been featured almost everywhere in the United States of America. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad and so excited to have you in the podcast.
Thank you so much for being here. You know, my main intention always is to bring as much value to the audience as possible. And I want you to think in this frame, okay? The kind of advice I like to give is something that I wanted to listen to when I was just starting off, or I was in my journey, okay? So I pretty much only coach and speak about things that I have done or things that I'm doing right now. And the main intention is to bring as much value to the marketplace.
Right, understand. Wow. And I just want to ask you, right, can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so, you know, a little backstory first to give you guys some context. You know, came to the U.S. When I was 7 years old from Mexico. and started off with just having to learn English and go through these all the different learnings when it comes to growing up here in the U.S. As a incoming immigrant and going through the school system in the 90s. And my background, I did construction growing up, and that was for my passion was always tech, and I knew that I wanted to go learn that, and I didn't want to have any school debt coming out of it. So I worked hard to go through that. So that's a little bit about my upbringing. And what I do now is aside from the real estate side, which I'll get to, is that we're empowering creators all over the world to create clothing brands, print on demand apparel, and we actually manufacture the machines that are used in a lot of the web stores for people that want to create t-shirts and clothing lines. Our biggest vision and mission right now is to empower millions of creators out there to thrive and win with print on demand technology.
Wow, nice. So how many countries are you impacting right now in terms of the printing side of things? Is it in Asia as well?
So we have wherever you might have a print shop or somebody that prints t-shirts, we ship our machines there. So we primarily manufacture our machines here in California and in Korea as well, and then we'll ship wherever we have a creator out there. So it's pretty wide. Think about it like this: it's like a big inkjet printer from home. But the main difference, instead of printing on paper, you're actually printing on apparel like t-shirts, and people that want to connect with a message on their clothing.
So Victor, how did you actually get started in wanting to doing all this tech stuff? Because I'm pretty sure back then when you're in the construction line, there are many people who might be a dreamer, but they don't take the action. But then you yourself, you have taken the action and look where you are right now. So can you tell us more on what actually inspired you to be a tech guy and doing printing, like what you're doing right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the times, at the beginning, you don't have that big of a plan, right? So I'll give you an example. I told you I'm a straight shooter, right? At the beginning, it's that, I wanted to do something that I can make a whole bunch of money at, right? That was like step one. Coming from, a humble beginnings, you always want to get away from that, right? And back then, you didn't have all of the technology like YouTube and Instagram, TikTok, all of the e-learning that you can do. Step one is getting out there and bringing value to the marketplace. And for me, it was, I needed to do construction to earn money. And then from there, get into a traditional schooling so I can learn about tech, because it was just starting out, right? We just when I graduated high school, it was 98. We just had, Amazon starting up. We just had dial-up. We didn't even have Wi-Fi yet, right? So all of these things intrigued me. And, you have to learn. I had to learn traditionally, right? I always wanted to get out of that poverty mindset.
Okay. So how do you actually get out of that poverty mindset? Was it through a mentor, or was it through books, or how do you actually get out?
Yeah, that's a great question, Raisin. So I'll start with like what I would do right now is, if I was anybody and out there with what is out there now, I would find a mentor first. I didn't do that because I didn't know how, honestly, right? So the way that I started doing is through self-education, through books, And that was my primary outlet. And from learning tech back in the day, it's kind of boring. I was like the nerd in the classroom. Okay. But then when it came to actually learning how to start bringing value in the marketplace, I started with books. That's the first thing I had. And then as soon as I can get, my hands on any educational stuff on the web, I started doing that. But honestly, right now, the best way is to get with a mentor, find them, even if you don't talk to them, right? Even if they don't even know who you are, you could see what they're doing and start modeling it based on the goal that you have.
Okay, understand. So for mentors-wise, would you recommend if, let's say, they are brand new, they do not have the amount to pay 50 grand, 100 grand for that mentor, would it be advisable for them to actually watch their YouTube videos and like you mentioned earlier, books first, right? Before they actually go and hire them as a coach, for example.
Exactly. So I'll share exactly what I did, okay? So I started following Grant Cardone, okay?
nice.
And I think it was like 2013, 14. You know, I wanted to get into real estate and learn about it. And that's the first guy that was doing a lot of content on YouTube. And what I would do in the mornings, I would get up and watch that, especially on the weekends. I never really like sleep in, right? So I would watch. Okay, how do you buy apartments? How do you do the math? How could you find them? How do you finance them? All these different things he was doing online, okay, on YouTube. So I started there. So my recommendation is, if you're passionate about something, there's somebody that has done it, and then start looking at their stuff for free. But this is the main thing that I think made a difference for me, Rayson, is that I decided to take action, right? So there's only so much learning that you're going to be able to do before you actually can implement. And taking action is the number one way that you can actually learn and get some benefit from it, right? So I always tell some of my coaching students, like, don't be a habitual learner. Don't go to every event. Don't get every book, but then you never implement, right? So number one, find a mentor. Number two, go deep with them. Even if you just are spectating from their YouTube channel like I did. And then number three, take that content and use it, implement it, try it, and then you'll start kind of seeing some progress like that.
Right. Wow. Love it. Love it. Man, I mean, these are the three key things that we have to do in order to achieve our goals and dreams. And this is a no-brainer for everyone that has actually been through that journey of success. And, as an entrepreneur, I'm pretty sure you have made some mistakes and probably failures. So, Victor, do you have a favorite failure of yours? And how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll preface with this, guys. So failure is part of the journey. Okay. In my case, I've had like plenty of failures, right? But the number one thing that I've done with my failures is always like do a few things. You want to acknowledge what the failure was, okay? You want to accept it, and then now you want to act on it. What I mean by acting on it? You want to be the person that learns from the failures, and then when the same situation comes again, you have to go back and to your mental database viewer and from these failures and say, okay, well, I tried it that way the first time, it didn't work, I'm gonna try a different way. Okay, so instead of going through the going straight through the brick wall, maybe on the second time go around it and see how that works. And you're never guaranteed that the other way is going to work. But what you can do is start learning and iterating, and then you'll get there. Because this, for example, I'll give you an example of building new products. Sometimes you don't have an idea when you're developing something like technology, an app, or mm-hmm. equipment or whatever. You don't know if it's going to work. And once you build it and it doesn't work or it does work, you have to make different moves to keep trying and iterating until it does work. Mm-hmm. Because it's all about that value to the marketplace. And if you could bring value to somebody, maybe it won't be your first version of your product. It might be the second version of your product. It might be the third version. But the reality is, once you get there, you will get there. And a lot of people give up way too soon on the sense of the first failure, right? So the number one thing that you guys can learn is that it's normal, and then you will fail. Just don't give up, because that's when you really fail, is when you give up.
Right. I agree, man. I mean, like when you give up, it's equivalent to you failing, because you do not want to try again. Probably you're just 10% more towards your goal and your success, but then once you give up, it's all gone. And man, I agree with you. When you are in the tech industry, you're creating an app or you're creating something for yourself, it's definitely not easy, because you definitely have some bugs or some issues with that app or that equipment or whatever that you call it, right? So I'm pretty sure it's not easy for you. And of course, Victor, I'd like to ask you, right, how can we stay motivated despite all these challenges then?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So sometimes motivation won't get you all of the way there, mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we cannot expect to be motivated all the time. The main difference of somebody that wins is that even when they're unmotivated, there's discipline that kicks in, and the discipline will get you through to the next stage of motivation, right? So two examples, okay? One of them, I tell you, it's stuff that I go through. I work out in the morning every day at 6 a.m., okay? I would say 90% of those 6 a.m. workouts, I'm not motivated, right? It's cold, I don't want to go, I don't want to be there, but my discipline helps me and just says, hey, you know what? This is what we do. We show up at 6 a.m. and then we work out. I always feel better afterwards, but I'm not motivated most of the time, right? So number one, don't expect to be motivated, every single day that you're doing something, all right? And when it comes into business, also want to have that discipline in business when something fails, so that you can push through and still show up. And the way that I've done that is through big goal setting and targets. So if you don't have goals big enough, then it's going to be really hard for you to stay motivated.
Okay, awesome. So just now you mentioned goal setting, right? So what's your method of goal setting? Is it the SMART goal setting, or you have any methodology for yourself?
Yes, SMART is always a good way, but remember the first thing that I see, because we also in my organization we do what's called a PPF planning, right? Personal, professional, and financial goal planning for our team members. And a lot of the times, most people don't have goals that they've set in 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Okay, so I don't want you to overcomplicate goals if you haven't set them. So the number one thing to do is spend the time visualizing the kind of life that you want, because it's very powerful, and then start breaking them down into personal, professional, and financial categories. And then that'll start giving you kind of a roadmap of what you want so you can have direction. Also, if you have a partner, for example, my wife and I, we will do our couple goals. We already did them for next year. And then we fine-tune them. And then we'll set them up together. Why? Because you want to have alignment with your partner on what those goals are. Because maybe, I'll give you an example. Entrepreneurs, we all want to be rich. But
right,
if you're with a person that does not want to be rich, that makes it very difficult, right? So always be in alignment with your goals. And the first step is just to start visualizing and figure out what you want in those three categories, and it'll start giving you a path. And then you can have multiple goals per category and expand that way and all that. And then my another hint of stuff that I do is every single morning, I will look at these goals and I will, I wrote them down like if I already achieved them. And then that gives me kind of something to look forward to in a goal. And then I'll look at my gratitude list of, you know, stuff that I'm grateful for every single day. So writing them down, looking at them, and making it an everyday practice is something that I've seen big entrepreneurs and big, all my mentors have big goals and targets that they look at every single day.
Oh, nice. So do you have an example of how we can write it as if we already achieved it? Is it like, I have this Maserati, this model of Maserati already, something like this?
Yeah, exactly. For example, one of mine is, you know, I have $100 million assets under management in multifamily. You know, we live in multiple homes around the world. We work with incredible people that treat our business like their own. All right. Okay. I make, you know, my company makes $500 million a year. So specific, it's set up so that it's already, you could tell your mind that it's already there, already achieved, you know, and those are some of mine. And yeah, if you want a Maserati, hey, I have a red Maserati, you know, and I drive it like hell, right? That's a goal. If that's your goal, put it down.
Okay, I understand. Wow, nice. Thanks, man. And you know, just now you actually mentioned that you have been following Grant Cardone, right? Since 2013. Surprisingly, I followed him as well since around 2015, 2016, and before I actually got him on my podcast. In 2018. So I would like to ask you, right, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from Uncle G?
Yeah, number one, you were thinking too small is the number one thing. We're all thinking too small. So we could do it. We could do it way bigger, whatever it is. And thinking big is free, and we don't do it, right? So that's the number one thing, and I've seen him do it. So I always try to, you know, do these kind of things to really think bigger, and that's the number one lesson that I learned from him. Because in your mindset is where things start.
Yeah, correct.
Then you find a way to execute them, right? But if you don't think something is possible, then it's going to be hard for your mind to figure out a way to get it done.
Right. I agree. It's just like The Secret in a sense, right? Laws of attraction.
Yeah, exactly. But the main difference is that there's a methodical like course of actions that you have to make as an individual after you visualize. So you cannot just visualize. You actually have to get up, put your shoes on, get to the gym, lift the weight, right? You can't just visualize huge muscles and healthy bodies, right? You have to do the work. The same thing, for example, with real estate, you could visualize a building, you could visualize, all that, but you have to go out and figure out how to do it tactically. And these guys, Grant has, 15,000 units now, like $5 billion of real estate. And he also started with zero. So that means that we can all do it.
Yep, totally. I agree with you on that. We all can do it. All of us can do it. We can achieve our goals and dreams, and especially in 2022 is ending. 2023 is coming soon. So what are your goals? You can actually type it in the comment section below, or you can just write it to us, and we are more than happy to actually see it, and also at the same time helping you to achieve your goals for 2023. So now to the main focus of our interview. I understand that we actually have entrepreneurs that has always been winning and successful, and you are also one of them as well. So can you tell us, like, what are the five traits of winning entrepreneurs?
Yeah, that's great. So we do a show, I like to interview winners that are in our industry, our customers and all that. And I've done like hundreds of interviews, and I found some key main things of these people that keep consistently winning. And that's what I want to share with you guys. Okay, so I'll start with the first one. Winners take responsibility for everything. What do I mean by that? Okay, everything is their fault. When you take responsibility, that means that you can now take control. But if you blame others, or you blame the market, you blame your customers, you blame your spouse, you blame your leads. If you're in sales, you blame things, then there's no way that you can take control. And a lot of winners that I've interviewed take responsibility for everything. So number one, always take responsibility, because after responsibility comes control. Okay. Your mind can figure out something way easier when it knows it's your fault. Okay. Number two, they have a repeatable marketing funnel to bring in new prospects to their business, to their opportunity, to their coaching, whatever it is. Right. So they're doing the outbound activities to bring the inbound awareness, attention, leads. Okay, so they're marketing. A lot of people that don't have success miss this component of marketing. For example, what are we doing right now? You're putting yourself by driving value out to the marketplace. You're making yourself known, and now you can have inbound activity, and you have a repeatable way for people to find you and interact with your product or service. Okay, so that's number two.
Okay.
Number three, they have a repeatable selling system. And this was a game changer for me, because, I'm a recovering engineer turned marketer turned, sales, right? And the main game changer is if you have prospects coming in, you have a repeatable way where you can call your leads. You have a CRM system. Out of 10 leads, you close three or five of them, and then you can repeat it over and over again. It's when you can start repeating it, you can start measuring and having success. All right. So winners have a repeatable selling system where they're not afraid to close and sell the people that want to interact with them. Okay. Number four. They're always setting bigger goals and setting targets. So you can't, for example, have high sales and that's your goal. No, you have to say, I want to make $20 million in revenue next year, and I'm going to do it by selling X amount of products to X amount of customers. And then the following year after that, you do it bigger and you keep growing, right? So they have bigger goals. And also, number five, winners have the eye on the money. And I don't mean the net. I don't mean the gross. I don't mean the top line. They have the eye on what it's costing them to deliver the service. They have the eye on their net profit, and they're optimizing for what's left, what's remaining in the business, because you want to be able to have a business that cash flows, that has profit, so that you can in turn have that profit and invest it in assets that generate passive income as well. Okay, so that was number five. They focus on net profit. And these are over and over again in my interviews is what I've been seeing as the top five traits of winning entrepreneurs. And it's something that we can all do. And I'll tell you, some of these I missed at the beginning of my career. I want to make sure that people out there understand how to leverage these.
Awesome. So for those of you who are tuning in, remember these five traits, and not just remember them, but also practice them as well, so that you can actually grow as an entrepreneur. And we're going to talk a lot more on that in terms of the strategies that will help entrepreneurs to create a business that they can scale. But now I would like to ask you, right, Victor, because we all are in an era where a lot of people are doing things on YouTube, TikTok, and all this other stuff. And the thing is this, when we, as a newcomer, we would kind of like, when we look at them and we would think to ourselves that, man, these guys are better than us and all, we might have this thing called imposter syndrome as well. So how can we actually let go of this self-doubt and overcome imposter syndrome?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think everybody goes through it. I'll give you an example, Rayson. So I was recently at a group event, and I'm talking about, you have billionaires in the room that all have done great things. And somebody asked a question, who felt like an imposter. Every one of these billionaires raised their hand. Okay. And these are people that have exited companies. These are people that are doing great. They still feel like you don't have value in the marketplace and that you're an imposter. Right. And my advice, and it's something that I feel too. Sometimes, I don't feel I'm successful yet, you know, and the main thing is we're all going to feel that at certain times. Sometimes we're going to feel successful. Sometimes we're going to feel like imposters. The number one thing is, if you have your mission big enough and you have your eye set on doing these things, you're going to feel like you're less than the next guy. Okay. Especially with social media, it is a reel of success, right? It's all the highlights. Right. We don't tend to post all of the negative stuff. Right. But what I can tell you is, try to enjoy the process. There's a negativity that's going to be there. And if you're growing, you always should be the guy that is the least successful in your group, so that you can learn from more successful people. And so my main summary on that, guys, is that you're always going to feel like that. Don't chase this ending of you're going to feel the best, you're going to be the best, and then you're done, because you're never done. It's just a journey.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, man. It's always a process of being the best version of you, in a sense. And you got to enjoy the process, because if you don't enjoy the process, man, I've heard recently, I saw one video by Tom Bilyeu. So he was saying that there's this billionaire that actually committed suicide, even though he actually was a billionaire and he had a lot of wealth and toys to play with, and people admire him, but this person just committed suicide because of that, because he don't really enjoy the process in a sense. So that's why we have to learn how to enjoy the process of getting towards A to B, in a sense, like how you have mentioned it earlier. And wow, thank you so much for so many amazing advice. And you know, our main topic for today is actually long-term thinking. So I'm curious, right? Why is long-term business thinking needed in the millennial entrepreneur system?
Yeah, that's great. So it's in this day and age, we all want like quick money, fast this, easy that, right? The number one thing that has got me personally to where I'm at is I'm always thinking of 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And you know, I was talking to a friend of mine that is a young millennial successful guy, and we were talking about the subject, and the reality is it's been easy to make money for people and online, maybe selling Instagram followers, you know, maybe crypto, and these things, because the last 10 years everything's been going up, right? And you pretty much throw a dart and maybe you can make some money, right? But it doesn't mean that it's long-term wealth. It doesn't mean that it's something that's sustainable, that you can build a legacy with. Okay, the only way you do that is slow incremental improvements, and then you build a team with a vision that can help you accomplish it. There's really no quick thing, especially not that I've known, And the long-term thinking always gets you there. So what are some steps that you can do to think long-term? You know, so, you know, the main thing is don't go for the quick buck right now. So you shouldn't be thinking, okay, I need to find something that I can make money tomorrow and become a millionaire tomorrow. Oh, I want to do Forex. I want to do TikTok, Instagram shout outs. Try to do things where you can build a team. Mm-hmm. Try to do things where you can grow with others. And then you'll start seeing that by having these different ways of thinking, you're going to start now setting up future plans, business plans. How many team members do you need? How much revenue do you want to make? Do you even like the market or the direction that you're going to? Are you just chasing the shiny object that is being sold online for this particular moment? Because if you remember, what did we have recently in the last couple of years? We had all sorts of, you could sell luxury watches. You could sell big luxury cars. You can, mentor people on how to get, how to go on fancy vacations with points. You can, do crypto trading and hop into the trends and all these things, right? But right. Is that really long term? Because a lot of that stuff is pretty dead right now, you know? Yeah. I would have liked to, you know, maybe made a few million bucks on AMC or whatever as stuff popping up. But more than likely, most people lost money. Mm-hmm. And that's because you're not thinking long term, right? So these are some of the things that I've implemented in my life. And it's not to say you can't make a quick buck, but you can get rich quick. But it's better to get rich for sure, you know, and that's important.
I agree, man. I mean, like, it's better to actually go for the long term rather than, you know, going for the quick buck. Because look at now, crypto is like pretty dead right now. Like FTX caused a huge bummer in the whole thing, right? And, you know, a lot of things are going on. A lot of all this drama about FTX, Kevin O'Leary, and all this other stuff is ongoing in a sense. And, of course, you know, being able to focus on the long-term plan rather than, you know, the short-term will be good. And that is how you actually do it. And that is like what Victor has mentioned, that is to focus on not the quick buck, but on the vision that you have for your business and for you to actually grow as a person in the long term. And Victor, I would like to ask you, right? So just now I already mentioned that we're going to talk a lot about this thing about scaling business. So what are the three strategies that will help entrepreneurs to create a business that they can scale and help them not lose money or time in the process?
Okay. So, that's a great question because, you know, I've been building my business for about 18 years now. Okay. And, mm-hmm. and it's always a matter of growth. Okay. So, when it comes to being able to scale a business, I'll share some facts. Okay. There's certain breakpoints in your business depending on revenue. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you have like 97% of businesses, especially in the U.S., have one employee or less. So it's just the operator himself is the majority of the businesses. Okay. And then two-thirds are less than five people. And so if you want to build something, you have to start thinking about people, building it with people, because people don't cost you money. People will make you money if you do it right. All right. So right. Number two, now when you have people, they need to be able to follow you in your vision. So you need to be clear on what it is. What are you guys doing there? You know, because the first million that you make is you're just testing to see if what you do is going to be purchased by the market, or is it something that just your mom and your grandma are going to buy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much like 0 to 1 million. It's you're testing, as it's called, product market fit. And then from there is who you do it with. So your team members. And then after that, after you some more size, maybe 5 to 8 million, is how you do it. So now you start incorporating your team's vision, and you start incorporating your processes on how you're able to achieve and repeat the process, whether it's delivering of a sale, delivering of a program or a product repeatedly over time, and keeping a good experience for your customers. And then as you scale, it recycles again with, you know, what you do, who you do it with, and then how you do it. And it keeps going and going as your revenue goes up. Okay. So if you're starting a business, what I could have done earlier on is make sure that I have processes defined, a clear vision defined, and all that. Mm-hmm. So I always, if you can start there, start there.
Oh, okay. Understand. Wow. Love these three steps. And of course, how just wondering, right? How do you define your processes when you're actually building your business up?
Yeah. So man, that is a great question. So some of the mm-hmm. ways we do it, I'll share kind of like, more of a higher level. So number one, okay. Think about it like this. You don't want to be dependent on any one team member for anything. Okay. And that's hard to do when, for example, you're the only team member, or it's you and someone else, right?
Right.
But what you want to start doing is just write down how you actually deliver the product or service to your customer, and that in a way that you want, and then in a way that delivers value and makes them happy, right? And gives gives your customer a reason to come back. So you have to start writing down what you do so that you could find the number one job that you're doing that's a waste of time for your talent or for where the goal is going for the business. And then you hire somebody for that job. So, for example, and that's the start of a process. Let's say that you're spending all your time responding to emails.
Right.
That means that your time is going to be worth, you know, $9 to $15 an hour. And you have to hire yourself out of that job and hire someone to do customer service and help your customers. But in order for them to do it like you, you have to write down how you respond, how you want the customer to feel, template responses, and so on, right? So that whoever you do hire has a clear training path, and you're not just bringing them on board to get upset. Because I'll tell you about mistakes that I've done in the past. You're bogged down with work, and you hire someone, and you put them in a desk, and you say, hey, do this work, fix this problem for me. The reality is you will never hire someone to resolve your problems. You have to hire them, and you have to give them a way to succeed. And that means you have to document everything. Now there's really good tools where you can record yourself and record your screen, and then just give it to whoever you hire and say, hey, this is how I do this job. Now it's your job. It's no longer mine. Okay. And then lastly for that, Rayson, is you want to let people know how you define success. How are you measuring them in that job? Is it, you know, for example, if it's a customer service, how many customer service cases are they doing per day, or time on the phone, or revenue generated? So you want to let them know what it is you're measuring and how they could win, how they're overachieving or underachieving. And so those are some of the ways where you can start building processes and systems in your business, even if you're just starting off.
Okay, understand. Wow, this is really huge, and this is great advice, man. Really love it. And this is all very practical as well. So for those of you who are tuning in, you can actually apply this for yourself and try it out and let us know later on, you know, how's the results like for you after implementing what Victor has actually mentioned over here. And Victor, as we are coming to the end of the podcast, I have two more questions for you. And this question is this, Ray. If you can actually turn back time and go back to 18-year-old self, right? You can go to him and you're going to talk to him and advise him. What would that be?
Yeah, that's great. So I never had a hard time working hard. But I would say think bigger and think smarter. And act faster. Okay. And what I mean by that is a lot of the times we take too long to achieve something because we don't start. We think about it too much. We're thinking about why it's not going to work. We're thinking about what someone's going to think, what your friend from high school or your aunt or your mom or your dad, what people are going to think. And the reality is most people are going to be gone in their own lives anyways. So you just wasted your time, right? So, you know, act faster, think bigger, and don't waste your time on thinking of, you know, what others are going to think about your hustle. Because remember, when I started my business, being an entrepreneur wasn't sexy like it is now. Being an entrepreneur means you're like that unemployed uncle, you know, that doesn't have a job. That was entrepreneurship back then. Right now it's like sexy because you have a YouTube channel and all these things, right? But back then it wasn't.
I fully understand. Back then in the 90s, there's no such thing as YouTube, man. There's no such thing as even like a smartphone. Last time was what, Motorola or Nokia and things like that. Yeah, okay, cool. Wow, love it. So we got to think faster, think smarter, and act faster as well, and act on it, right? So, yeah. Okay, cool. And now to the final question. Imagine this. You suddenly lose everything, Victor. Your money, your reputation. What would you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first off, I buy apartments, so it's hard to lose them all at the same time, right? So that's right. A lesson for you guys. Move your money to multifamily apartments because it's indestructible wealth, all right? Having said that, okay, number one, sales cures all. Okay, so you lose everything, you lose your money, you lose. Go out there and build something where you can take your skills. So what I would do now, instead of building a business from scratch, I would find a respectful business that needs help growing and scaling. And I would negotiate some sort of earn-in structure to be able to grow that business. And that would be the fastest way to wealth because I don't have to come up with a product. I don't have to come up with customers. I just have to find a business owner that is stuck and I help them bring value and unstick the business and help it grow. And that will be the fastest way to enterprise value.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that, man. I mean, you got to find someone who needs help and then you help them. And then that's where you are paid for your value that you're adding into their businesses. And probably, you might even buy their business and be the owner instead, in a sense, right?
Exactly. And that's totally doable because now, there's a lot of baby boomers that have very successful businesses. Either they don't have kids or the kids don't want to take them over. Okay. And these are cash flowing business, HVAC, construction, all these kind of businesses that are generating a lot of money. They're going to be left with the owner retiring and nobody to take over. So you want to find opportunities like that. If it's something that, you're in a situation where you got to make money. And you find an owner like that, and you can become an owner with them and be part owner without having to put money down. You put your knowledge and your equity down and you participate in the growth is the fastest way to business ownership where you don't have to set up a business from scratch.
Yeah, totally. Wow. Love it. Well, thank you so much. Victor, you have added so much value into this podcast, and I really thank you for all these golden nuggets and value bombs that you've dropped over here. So, well, can you tell us where can my audience find you in social media?
Yeah, first, thank you so much for having me. And I hope if I inspire one person out there to take action with some of the things that I needed back in the day, then I did my job. I'm active everywhere. Instagram's probably the easiest. You can DM me the Victor_H_Pena, P-E-N-A. The only one with the blue check mark on there. DM me. You're interested in real estate. You're interested in growing business, mentorship, any of that stuff. And I also post what I'm doing there. I post what I'm doing to inspire you guys. So that's the best place. I'm looking forward to connecting with everyone.
Wow, awesome. Wow. With that said, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, be it you're from Singapore or India or US or any part of the world that you're tuning in right now. Thank you so much for tuning in. And of course, Christmas is coming very close. So we will be stopping the Legacy Show, pausing it for a while until next week. So with that, I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And stay tuned for the next episode of The Legacy Show. All right, take care and goodbye. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Legacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Legacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. Alright, so with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of the Legacy Show.